It's not just a home or a car. It's the 6 months you've saved for the Ultra HD flat screen and the overtime you worked for that third car so your teen can drive himself to practice. While other insurance companies just see them as a bundle or a combo, State Farm agent Tony Hoagland sees your home and car as things you work really hard for. Tony understands what your things really mean to you and is here to help you give them the protection they deserve. Talk to State Farm agent Tony Hoagland in Champlin for your home and auto insurance today. That's ChamplinInsurance.com.
In this week's episode, NHLer Curtis Gabriel joins us to talk about his work in making the game more inclusive, and Jesse and I break down this weekend's NHL entry draft and look ahead to moves the Wild should make in free agency. As always, all of that and more presented by SodaStick, brought to you by Better Edge, Jim Beam, and State Farm Insurance agent Tony Hoagland at ChamplinInsurance.com. This is episode 83.
Newly restocked 1980 Herb Brooks Foundation collaborations can now be found at SodaStick.com. Also, don't forget to live that McGolden Light Lake Life or rock a Randy Moss Moon shirt. Snag 15% off all purchases with code BARDOWNBEAUTIES at checkout. SodaStick.com.
At Jim Beam, they know the importance of tradition, like chanting Let's Play Hockey prior to the start of each game, or playing the State of Hockey anthem after a Wild win. This season, raise one to your fan family with the bourbon that invites us all to come as friends and leave as family. Jim Beam Bourbon Whiskey, the official bourbon whiskey partner of the Minnesota Wild and XL Energy Center. Remember, drink smart. Jim Beam Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey, 40% alcohol by volume, copyright 2021, James B. Beam Distilling Company, Incorporated, Claremont, Kentucky.
Hello, everybody. We're back. Episode 83. Lots to talk about, Alexis. Did you check out the entry draft this weekend, or did you live your life like a normal person?
Both. I lived my life, but made sure to follow along because that's what we do in sports, right? Even when you're not directly involved, you're always keeping an eye on what's going on, true, whether you want to or not. So definitely a lot happening this past weekend here with the entry draft, with trades happening among the league. The Wild weren't involved in any this weekend, but a lot going on to keep track of. A lot of really crazy things happening. I mean, it was a weird weekend because there was definitely some moves that were weird. Some of the Wild picks, I think, were a little unexpected in the draft, especially taking a goalie there in the first with one of their first couple picks. So a lot going on this weekend. So hard to not stay tuned in. You were directly involved, however, so you got more of a inside peek into what was going on.
I wish I wasn't. Like, I don't know if it's just because I usually don't cover the draft, right? Usually it's in person. So they have a staff writer go and do it. And that's always fine and well with me because I don't really need to be there. It was the longest draft I feel like I've ever, like, a timeout. When do you have timeouts in a draft? Like,
more than one.
Yes. I mean, God bless Bill Guerin for making some trades up to get rid of those very end NHL entry drafts, because obviously in day two, it's a crapshoot. It's really whatever happens. We can get to the draft. You're right. Let's talk about those trades. Should we just laugh continuously for 5 minutes at Philadelphia and Chuck Fletcher? Because what in the world is happening in Philadelphia? Like, Chuck Fletcher's just, you know, death taxes and moving first round picks is a Chuck Fletcher thing, right? Like, he's just throwing them away and overpaying, literally gifting players to Arizona. Like, what the hell?
You know what's so funny is, like, Philadelphia, I feel like, always just gets, you know, made fun of in general. I don't know why, but everyone is always making fun of Philadelphia. Philadelphia sports in general get made fun of a lot because their fans are kind of intense and there's just a lot going on there.
Yeah.
Chuck Fletcher, it's just, like, so funny seeing other people experience Chuck Fletcher's madness. It's like, yeah, okay, now you understand our pain. You get what I go through. Like, I actually am some friends with some people from Philadelphia that I work with, like, through the NWHL, and I saw them, like, making comments about stuff, and I was just like, okay, yeah, all right. So we're all on the same page here. Chuck Fletcher is a madman when it comes to making trades. And the funniest one was the Ristolainen one was obviously, like, got everybody
that one
worked
I just,
up.
I don't get. And everyone's still, you know, oh, we need Jack Eichel. It's like, if that's what they're going to pay for Rasmus, like, no, we don't need
Absolutely
Jack Eichel. You need to
not
send the whole team. Like, what?
So the like several things were funny about. I'm getting flustered talking about this because it's so maddening to me that like someone would do this. So first of all, Chuck Fletcher made the comment that they had their eye on Ristolainen for years. I'm like, why? First of all, why?
Well, if you did, then you would have seen how terrible he is.
Exactly.
Like how he's not very good.
So like everyone loves to crap on analytics, but the analytics do not lie here. Like, no. Look at the stats. He is notoriously bad. And the funniest part about all of this. So all of this happened. And later that night, I saw my boyfriend and I was telling him like about, he's not a big hockey person, right? So like what he knows about hockey is usually like me filling him in on stuff. And I was like, yeah, like the Flyers made this crazy trade today. It was so funny. And everyone was laughing about it. He's like, oh yeah, they traded for that guy. I saw a video of him falling over when there was no one around him. I was like, that's what he's known for. I was like, so you get it.
Yes. God, it just like, it was like Gritty was at the controls, like just complete chaos. Like what the hell? I mean, they finished it up with Cam Atkinson addition, which that trade was probably like their only like, okay, sure. I mean, the Ryan L, I just don't understand it, Philadelphia. I am sorry to Flyers fans.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Good luck.
I mean, not that, I mean, I guess your team wasn't great to start with. So what are you going to do? But good Lord. So that was hilarious. Yes. Yeah. And then you saw Sam Reinhart from Buffalo, who yep. I have been buying for to maybe have the Wild take a look at over Eichel, uh-huh. goes to Florida. You know, we talked to Bill Guerin yesterday as we head into, you know, a bigger trade market, if you will. And he had said like, you know, does this change things? Like you're looking at these high prices that these very mediocre at yeah. best players are going for. And he's like, well, of course the market's always changing, but you got to wonder if Jack Eichel is going to command more, or if, you know, you have to wait until the very end, right before camp to go and pounce on them so that price really comes down because Sabres are desperate to get rid of them.
I mean, it's really a dangerous game you start to play when you toy with that idea, because yes, the price for Jack Eichel right now is too high in my opinion. And I think a lot of people agree with that as well.
No Jack Eichel for the
no
love of God.
Jack Eichel. And I was 100% on the same page as you with, I liked the idea of a guy like Reinhart over a guy like Jack Eichel. So it was kind of unfortunate to see him get moved somewhere else. I think he's going to fit in great in Florida, side note.
Totally.
But yeah, with it, someone like Jack Eichel, who's demanding such a high price, and they have not wavered on that at all. Kevin Adams has said, hey, this is what I'm asking for. This is what I want. I'm not changing that.
So, I think he yeah. even said yesterday, like, we'll keep him.
Yeah,
like,
he
was
like, fine.
It's like, Jack has a problem with that, but sure, go for it.
Yeah, he's like, we'll be fine if he's here on this team come training camp. It's like, yeah, all right, good luck with that. You know, he hasn't wavered on that. And so you do get into this game of, okay, how long do I wait? Because every team, I think, is in the same boat as like, this is too high of a price. It's not just the Wild saying, oh, we can't really afford this. A lot of teams feel that way just because that's how it goes. You only have so much to work with. And when you're swinging for a big player like that, who's demanding a lot, it's a big, you know, risk to take. But then if you wait long enough, eventually someone else might take him before you get a chance to. So you really are
it's
like
crazy. Other
the
teams
line
have
there.
Needs like this too, right?
Yeah.
Like
that's, so
it's just not, yeah,
it's a tough game to play. I mean, I would also wait and see if it's going to come down at all. We still have a lot of time here before, you know, I think this move would need to happen. But you don't, if this is somebody that Bill Guerin is saying, I need to get him, you don't want to wait too long because a lot of people feel that way. So that's where I stand on that, because it gets to be a very dangerous game once you wait for that price to drop.
I mean, exactly. And I know Guerin is approaching free agency, which starts on Wednesday. We might have a little something cool and special if the Wild are incredibly active, which I think they are. There are some holes. So the draft obviously filled a couple of those. They got some defensemen. They got 7 overall players. Jack Peart, a Minnesota boy. Yes. Again, death taxes Minnesota Wild taking a Minnesota boy in the draft. Way to go. They got Jesper Wallstead moving up with Edmonton to grab him in the first round. So a good third goalie to have as a prospect in the wings waiting. But, you know, Bill Guerin is heading into free agency knowing that he's going to have to be very active. You've got defensive roles to fill.
Yeah.
You've got, you know, some forward lines still to fill. Not to mention, you're still needing to sign Kirill Kaprizov and Kevin Fiala. I am willing to bet if that does not happen in the next like day or two, it's not going to happen until right before training camp.
Yeah.
Because I think it's not going to be in this interim. You know, we haven't had a summer yet for the offseason, folks. So that has to happen in August. So, I mean, it'll be interesting to see. I know Bill Guerin had said yesterday after day two of the draft that we have some holes to fill and you have to figure out dollars and cents and what you're going to be able to pay at what position. The trade market's not dead either. It is still an option, which dun 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 probably means he's looking to trade some guys if again the price is right. So I mean, Alexis, what would you want to get a defenseman over a top center? You know, if Jack Eichel's your best bet, right? Are you looking then at filling some of those defensive holes, knowing that you do have some prospects and you still have Callan Addison, Brendan Minnell that could come up and fill some roles? But what's your number one go-to in free agency coming this week?
This is a hard question that I don't think a lot of Minnesota Wild fans, media expected to have to face at this point in the season, because coming into the off season, all throughout last season, it was top line center. We got to get a top line center. Well, now with the some of the moves that Bill Guerin has made in the off season, Carson Soucy getting taken in the expansion draft, you now have some other really big holes that you need to fill. And the Wild's defensive core has been one of the best in the NHL in recent years. And kind of historically, the Wild have always been a good defensive team. And you've kind of, not kind of, you have torn that apart a little bit now, especially with the loss. You've lost a veteran in Ryan Suter and you've lost a young guy in Carson Soucy. So that's two big holes on opposite sides of the defensive spectrum that you need to try to fill. The younger role of Carson Soucy is going to be easier to fill, because like you said, Jesse, you do have some guys, young guys coming up. I think Addison could make a bid to get a spot on this team come training camp. So we'll see what happens there. But I definitely think that rebuilding that defensive core is going to be crucial, because you don't want to get that top line center and then all of a sudden your defense is Swiss cheese and Cam Talbot,
a team that has thrived on a good defense for existence, right?
You don't want to get better in one area and just completely fall back in another area that you've been succeeding at, you know, for a long time. So I do think they're almost of equal importance, finding that top line center and kind of rebuilding that defensive core, because truly both are very important in different ways to have a complete hockey team. So I do think that that is something that Bill Guerin needs to look at and see if there's options out there. But the only thing I would say that would maybe make a top line center a little bit more important right now is I think that's a big reason that Kirill Kaprizov is holding out on signing a contract. He's waiting to see what is going to happen with this, you know, forward group and these top six players that he's going to be playing with on a nightly basis. So that's where I'd say, hey, Bill, maybe get that figured out, because your superstar is holding out on you because he wants to see who you're going to get. So we'll see what happens there.
Poor Bill Guerin. I'm sure he really had no idea that would happen. I mean, maybe he did. Maybe he was like, shit, we got to get this guy somebody to play with. Although I will credit to Bill, he still is standing by Victor Rask. We're not bullying Victor Rask. We're just mentioning that, like, it's just so funny.
I mean, he stood by all the centers. He was like, hey, these guys can do that. I'm like, I was reading through some of the quotes. I'm like, all right, Bill, don't go soft on me. Go get a center, because the guys we have, yes, are good, but we need more. So go find one.
Exactly. On the defensive end, I kind of like UFA Alec Martinez from Vegas. Ooh, just because he did really well. I mean, I think he'll command a little bit more on the market. I know Vegas has made an offer as of a couple days ago, but he would really, really impress me in that Vegas series, and actually just seeing him overall throughout the season. So it's like, if you want to do, he's a little bit older. So you have that veteran presence that maybe could pair really well. And obviously Ian Cole is the other one. Like, let's re-sign Ian Cole. I know we had actually directly asked Bill about Ian, like, hey, have those talks, because Bill loves him, but he's like, Ian might not want to do this. He might want to check out the market and see what else is available. And you know, he's not in a rush to get him locked down, but I would love Ian Cole and I would love Alec Martinez. Maybe.
I love that idea. I think that's a great point, Jesse. I mean, I think Martinez struggled a bit in LA, which, can you blame him? I mean, the LA Kings right now are not a great team, so it's not entirely surprising.
But watch out. Their prospect pool is the deepest pool ever. Yes. Like, they are going to crush it in like 5 years.
Yes. Beware the LA Kings in 2025. But yeah, so I agree with you 100% that I think he's really made a name for himself in Vegas and with that group of guys. So I wouldn't be opposed to that. I think that's a great idea. And I was also going to touch on the Ian Cole thing, because I truly believe that getting Ian Cole, a lot of people said this as well, this isn't just me, that he was the best move the Wild made this past season was acquiring Ian Cole. So that would be, I think, a bigger loss than a lot of people would realize if he wasn't on this team next year. It might be a noticeable gap, especially without a guy like Ryan Suter now as well. So I think that is a really important thing for the Wild to try to get locked up. But like Garen said, you know, he's going to see what's out there and see what's available for him. And Garen even said, he's like, I understand that. That's fair of him to do that. So we'll see where that goes with that. But there is, you know, Alex Goligoski is out there as well as an option. So there's options for the Wild that they could pursue. But we'll see what they get cooking here in the next few weeks or so.
And then for the center, I kind of like Philippe Danault from Montreal. Let's just shout out what a trash team Montreal is for picking a sexual predator in the first round. Unnecessary. I will stand by that.
Having a PR thing ready to go, having no explanation for why they did it. Literally trash from beginning to end. Like, you got, congrats, Montreal. You literally made everybody mad. Like, when everyone's on the same page, you know it's a bad choice. Like, everybody was like, this is wrong.
It was very like, we don't care.
Yeah.
He plays hockey really well. Like, the first round too. It's not even that you just were going to draft him overall. Like, he would have been available at the end because I think the rest of the teams weren't going to touch him. He even went out and said, you know, it's not that kids don't deserve a second chance.
Right.
But it's just like, you're valuing the hockey skill again over the character and the things that he's done. And he still hasn't apologized to the gal that he has victimized. So he has.
And he literally
learned.
Said he was like, I don't want to get drafted right now. Like, I don't think that this is like, he was
not appropriate.
Not appropriate. So the player is saying, don't do this. And Montreal is saying, I don't care. I'm going to do it anyway. Like, you look dumb. You look so dumb doing that. Just, like, I can't, like, hockey, it's actually, like, that's what I mean. Yeah. This weekend was a mess.
God, I love hockey, but it's like one step forward, 10 steps back. Yeah. Like, this is exactly what we don't want to happen. So there you go. There's our hot take on that real quick.
Also, but props really fast to the reporters who asked the right questions.
Oh, the whole time.
Yes. Shout out to the reporters in that situation who took the responsibility of trying to get answers, because I know that's a hard position to be put in. And it's sometimes hard to find the right way to ask certain questions and hold people accountable. That was what I was most impressed with of the whole situation, was the responsibility the reporters took on to try to get answers. Shout out to you guys.
Way to go, media. But no, I think Danault, he's not going to go back to the Canadiens. Mm-hmm. He's a center. He's average. I mean, he'd be a good fill-in, maybe, right? Like, he wouldn't be terrible, and I don't think he's terribly expensive, but that'd be one that I would maybe eye at that position, I guess.
There's some good options out there, and I think Danault would be a more affordable one for sure. There's some good options out there that I think might be a bit of a high price. I mean, like, Sean Monahan would be great, but that might be a high asking price. Tyler Johnson, Zibanejad is going to be a high asking price. I mean, there's some really talented centers out there that are going to be available, but it's going to come down to what can the Wild afford. And
they don't have a lot of room to play with. Even after the buyouts, not a lot of room to go with. The big question, Alexis, if Nick Foligno comes to the Minnesota Wild, do you make it the Foligno fan club? Because you can't just have Marcus. Yes. You have to. And I will say, having met Nick numerous times over the years, he is just as fantastic as Marcus. So do you rebrand?
Yes, we rebrand, scratch the merch, scratch everything. I'll redo my Twitter bio. Everything will be adjusted to incorporate Nick Foligno into the fan club. I love the idea of it. I know a lot of people are not really on board with it just because he's older. A lot of people don't like the, oh, it's the brothers playing together. Shut up if you say that.
I love that. Storylines, baby, storylines.
Yes, give us the storyline. Give us all of it. I want it. And I'm not even just like saying this because I love the Foligno family and Marcus Foligno and whatever. Nick Foligno is a fantastic leader that's been proven in Columbus. Yes, he's a little bit older, and yes, he's not going to, you know, be the missing piece that the Wild are looking for that's going to get them the Stanley Cup. No. But I think he would be a great addition to this Minnesota Wild roster. And I love watching siblings play together because I think they have a special connection in any sport. And so even if the siblings aren't superstars, or if one of them is better than the other, I love when siblings get teamed up together. And I just think there's something special about it outside of the, you know, emotional aspect of it. Like, the way they actually play changes when they're together. And so I love that idea. I'm 100% on board for a million different reasons. You all already know that, but yes, get Nick Foligno on this Minnesota Wild team, whatever
you
want.
It'd be interesting. His cap hits like a little over 5 mil. So I mean, but yeah, I'm all for him. Just, he's a great person. I love the storyline. Yes. Why not? You lost a left wing and Zach Parise, bring in a left wing. I'm very curious on that. Speaking, I would bet, actually, you know what? Again, I will bet that Nick Foligno at least heavily entertains the idea Okay. Right. And I would place that bet on betteredge.com, BETTOR edge.com. Again, a Beautz, BEAUTS, gets you a free $10 at sign up. They have kind of gone through and changed a lot of their aesthetics and done a lot of really cool things. So congrats to them. Again, go check out betteredge.com, BETTOR edge.com, code Beautz for a free $10. You'd love to see it. Love those guys. They're the best. But yeah, I would be willing to bet that he's entertained. I texted Marcus actually. It was like, hey, when your brother signs here, we want the exclusive interview on Bar Down Beauties. So yeah, that will come. So you guys should cheer for that too, because the Beautz, we're sweeping in. We're beating Russo to the punch.
Do you want
we're
the Foligno brothers on this podcast or not? Stop trying to make this happen.
Plus it's new merch. Maybe we got new merch. We got a rebrand of the Foligno fan club. It would be good for all. So yeah, I'm anxious to see what happens. Again, stay tuned to all of our social media channels as far as what the Wild end up doing this week. I am preparing myself for a somewhat busy week, I guess.
If the Wild don't do anything, at least I hope other teams keep us entertained for the week. So
exactly. A little shout out. I will be on KFan with Brandon Molesky and Pat Micheletti on Wednesday. So hopefully I get to stay for the full hour segment, and the Wild don't make any moves between noon to one, but sure, be sure to check that out too if you want to listen to more me, right?
Hashtag more me.
Hashtag more me. Sorry, Fallness. Ours is better.
We're hijacking that hashtag.
Exactly. Before we close up, and before a great segue into our next guest, Curtis Gabriel, shout out to Luke Prokop, Nashville Predators prospect who came out as gay. And shout out to our buddy Zach Halverson too, for living his true authentic life. We love to see it. We've got a lot of discussion with Curtis on how we make hockey and sports a more welcoming place for people that haven't been able to live their life like they want to, because they feel like it's just not as accepted. So without further, Alexis, what do you think? You know, Zach really well.
I do. Big week for people coming out, literally coming out though, but, and sharing their stories and feeling brave enough to be themselves. Like, it's just, to me, it's mind blowing the thought of having to do that. Like, I try to put myself in people's shoes when they go through this, and I'm like, God, that, you know, no matter who you're telling, whether it's a small group of people, a big group of people, that takes a lot to say, like, this is who I really am, because you truly don't know what kind of response you're going to get. And you hope that the people who care about you are going to be there for you, but the strangers you might be worried about, and especially someone like Luke, who is a hockey player, and someone like Zach, who is a media personality. I mean, that is a big thing to do. So Zach, I'm extremely proud of you. If you're listening to this, I literally, like, it made me tear up, like, reading your story. And Luke, I loved seeing the response from the hockey world. Everybody saying, hey, we're behind you. We got you. We're so proud. Like, this is huge. And hopefully this is the first of many people who feel brave enough and comfortable enough to do this. And I know, like, when people say this stuff, they always say, like, hopefully this isn't a big deal in the future. Hopefully this is just a blip on the Twitter timeline in the future when these things happen. Because it's going to be so normal. But yeah, shout out to those two and everybody else who has either done this before or hoping to do this at some point in the future. Trust me, the people who really care about you are going to have your back. And at the end of the day, that's what really matters.
Again, Curtis Gabriel will talk more about the LGBTQ+ community and how what he's doing to make it a more inclusive and welcoming place. So we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with Curtis.
It might be the off season, but that doesn't mean you can't still shop Bar Down Beauties apparel. Get yourself a tank to add to your summer wardrobe or a Bar Down Beauty sticker to slap on your water bottle to stay hydrated in the summer heat. Whatever you want, we've got it all at our Bar Down Beauties Teespring store.
We're back. Joining us now, potato connoisseur. Is that fair to say? Possibly, maybe.
I mean, it kind of just happened. I'll explain it.
We'll dive into that. Also, former Minnesota Wild player, and really just a great human being who has been so vocal about all of these different human rights and in educating yourself. Curtis Gabriel. Curtis, how are you?
Thank you very much. I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on. I know we had to coordinate a little bit, but I'm happy to be on now.
Hey, no, I'm glad you, thank you so much for carving out the time. Let's just get it out of the way. Potatoes. Brock McGillis, who is a former Bar Down Beauties guest, who actually helped us connect here, has been chirping you about your eating habits. Tell us a little bit about that and how that all began.
It really just happened organically, like everything does. I don't really plan much stuff. I kind of just do what I think's right. And, you know, living in pandemic California, you know, I was terrified. I'm on the team. I'm trying to stand there and chill. I don't want to get COVID. I'm not vaccinated yet. I'm not taking any risks. I'm not going to the grocery store. So I was just using Instacart, and I was new to California, didn't know all the grocery stores, so I just couldn't find this like 100% rye bread I eat every morning. I tried to not eat like gluten except for like a cheat meal, so I was trying to eat my good rye bread, but I couldn't get it. So I was like, what's the next option? I'm just gonna eat potatoes that's, you know, gluten free, and I'm just gonna, I don't care, like it's just functional for me. I just was going to microwave it, eat it, and apparently he thought that was absolutely insane. But I've been doing that my whole life. It's just this time I'm sharing it on Instagram, and that's the power of social media. It's so cool how I can connect a bunch of people. But yeah, he's just appalled by that, and I can see his point, I guess, but it just works for me. That's all it was to it, and then it just took on a life of its own, and I went with it.
I mean, so you've been doing this for a while. It's not something that just started. Like, you had been doing, this was a habit that you had developed earlier on, too?
A similar, like, habit. Like, I'm not a naturally big guy. Like, in some guys in the off-season, you know, they go up to, like, 250 eating, you know, drinking beers and having a couple meals a day. If I eat like that, and like, I lose weight. I'm just that like ectomorph body type. So I have to.
I hate you, by the way. That's great. Well,
I hate you. Everybody wants what they can't have. I would sleep in a second. Obviously I get to eat a lot, but it's exhausting. And, you know, when you have to eat in the summer and you're grinding as hard as you can, you have to eat 5-6 meals a day. Like, I just don't even want to look at food anymore. So I'll just, you know, I don't want to put spinach in the pan and make it all nice. I'll just eat it out of the bag. Like, yeah. Chips, spinach chips. Like, I don't care. Like, I won't cut up a pepper. I'll just eat it like an apple out of the fridge. Like, I just don't care. So I guess people just find that hilarious. But if you stepped in my shoes for a week, I'm sure you'd love it for a couple of days, but then you'd actually want to blow your brains out.
You know what? That's fair enough, I guess, right? Like, we all have to do what we have to do. I mean, is there a favorite way that you would prepare the potato? Like you said, you'll just eat it as it is, but if you could, if you were to like sit down and make a potato, what's the go-to?
Well, I try not to eat dairy either, so I can't have like butter in a baked potato. So the best way is like with a little olive oil in the pan, salt and pepper. That's the best. Fried potatoes. There's nothing better than that for me. I was just like raised on that. Scottish side of the family raised me, so all we did was eat potatoes at every, you know, family function, every type of way possible. It's like in Forrest Gump, you know, like Bubba Shrimp, you can fry it, you can do it all different ways. That's what potatoes are. They're the best, most versatile root vegetable, whatever you want to call it. They're the best.
I love it. That's fair. So believe it or not, we're not actually going to focus on just your potato eating.
Yeah,
habits.
That was actually just the interview. We're done. Thanks for coming on, Curtis.
Thank you.
I'll head out now.
No, but I think, I mean, I know I personally, Alexis, and I'm sure everybody else that's ever followed you on social media, I've just been so beyond impressed how you've really taken it upon yourself to not only be vocal about educating yourself on whether it's LGBTQT plus community or racism, and kind of really taking a stance and taking it a step further and helping to educate others and admitting when you're wrong and saying, hey, I don't know this, I'm not sure about that. I mean, when did you recognize that this is something I really want to do, this is a position I want to take, and how maybe difficult was that? Because in the NHL especially, it's hard to put yourself out there on some of these issues.
Yeah, big question. I mean, where to start? I mean, I just feel like, first of all, I don't think I'm like some like awesome human being, because again, it's just, we all have an obligation, I think, to help out. If we want to be, you know, a part of society and a part of, you know, making a good culture, like, we just got to, especially on hockey, we need to be part of the thing that fixes that. And it just boils down to just truth and love to me. Like, it's pretty obvious. These things are pretty factual. All these things have been studied. And if you're just upset about that because you don't like change or you have certain religious beliefs, I just think it's very just outdated and wrong to care that much about how other people live their lives. So for me, it was just a coming of age, maturing, and really just having these issues humanized to me. Homophobic language in the locker room was just how it was. Getting clammed up around racial issues was just how it was. It was that fragility and that lack of understanding. But once you kind of have the peek behind the curtain and see how some people have to live their lives and how underprivileged they are and how privileged I am, it's just made everything I hear is that we need white, straight, cisgendered professional athletes to help out. And I just thought that, all right, I think this is something I should be a part of.
Well, you know, the NHL, I think in recent years has shown that they're trying to do more, but there's obviously still so much more they can do. And in a lot of ways, a better job that they can do at the way that they make these issues known and the way they try to help out with some of these issues. What do you think the NHL as a whole and even other players in the NHL who maybe aren't as outspoken can do a better job of to be more like somebody like you?
Yeah, I just think hockey as a whole is just a very elitist sport, and we've all been middle to upper class. You've had Brock on, so you've had him talk about the insular nature of the sport, and we're around the same people only, the same socioeconomic people, everything, the same race or whatever you want to call it. Like, we're around the same people. So we don't really have broad views. And, you know, I think that's unfortunate. I think that's what stops our game from growing a little bit, but they definitely are trying. And just like me, you make mistakes, and I've made it a bunch, and just trying to, you know, realize that this is about, you know, those people, and I'm trying to learn from them. So I think NHL is doing that as well. They're learning. Obviously I'm in the game. I want to stay in the game. I'm not here to, you know, call in, but I'd like everybody to just do better. And that includes me.
Yeah. You know, do you think the NHL, because of the culture that it has created unwittingly, because it's a white, predominantly white sport, right? And because you have to have a certain socioeconomic class, do you think it definitely lags behind other sports when it comes to just, again, whether it's gay rights or the racism aspect? I mean, how far back do you think they are in comparison to the NFL or MLB or what have you?
I mean, it's the predominantly white league, right? So obviously I think it's kind of natural to be behind, unfortunate as it is. Mm-hmm. The other sports have much more diversity. We obviously do, but it's the same, you know, we have less pigment in our skin. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's just part of the growth. You know, we might lag a little bit behind, but I think we like to call ourselves, like, you know, the best athletes in sports sometimes, the easiest to interview. We're so humble and all stuff. Well, like, let's, you know, use that and be that and, you know, try to catch up to these other leagues. And I think we'll see so many more people accept and grow the game. You saw what Brock did with his Pride Month interviews, over 100 people who were just wanting to say, hey, I'm here. I'm in the game. I've always been here. Mm-hmm. And trying to find that community. I think we could do that for, like, what Renee Hess is doing with the Black Rock Hockey Club. Yeah. You know, we have the Asian community. We have Asian players in the league. Like, all different communities should be able to feel welcome. And that's only going to make the game better. What makes a great team, what makes a great league, is great individuals. And I think the best individuals can be from any background. It doesn't matter. So why not accept all?
Well, and that brings up an interesting point, because in hockey, we talk about it all the time. It's a team first sport, right? There's no I, it's always we. So it kind of almost hurts when you think about this sport, when it isn't as inclusive as you'd like it to be, right? Because it is so, we're all about the team. And yet you find so many folks are feeling like they're not accepted into the sport.
Yeah. So it's what I've learned a lot, and what I, you know, growing up, it was racism or homophobia is a direct, you know, very loud action against someone. That was all racism was to me. Oh, I don't do that, so that means I'm not a part of this. Mm-hmm. But I think that's what we lag behind in, is just because we're personally okay with it, just because we don't say it and we don't see it, then therefore it doesn't exist. And that's just not the case. And I think once we start to learn that more, I think things are starting to happen behind the scenes, even from my knowledge of what I know, Mike, from Brock and stuff. So I think things are going the right direction, and they maybe had to get worse before they get better. And hopefully we can keep going, because we are at the best time ever. Mm-hmm. You know, it has gotten better. People like to say, well, it's the most inclusive world we've ever had. Of course it is, but that doesn't mean it's there yet.
Right.
Well, and I think another thing to think about is, I think the NHL and NHL players always get, you know, called out for being, you know, they're not as, they don't have as big a personality as some other sports, and interviews and post-game press conferences and all that stuff. And people are like, where's the personality? Give us more of that. I think we're starting to see some more of that. You could look at Nikita Kucherov's post-game press conference in the Stanley Cup final as an example of that. But I think players are starting to feel more comfortable with having that personality publicly. Do you think that helps a little bit with stuff like this? Is like, okay, I can be myself, which means I can also talk about things that matter to me. Do those go hand in hand?
I think so. I mean, I posted a photo yesterday. I got some pants in from Deception Toronto. It was a great clothing company. I was just sitting there like, what am I going to caption this? I want to stir it up a little bit. And I had been thinking about this and talking about it with, like, my girlfriend. And I just put, if you don't like Nikita Kucherov's interview, you may be a little boring. And, you know, that doesn't mean I live so much in the social issues where, like, there's a right. I mean, I'm sorry, there's just facts. And then there's people that are against those facts. Like, you know, you can respect someone for their opinion, but maybe they're not educated. This is just, I like being in the space of, like, it's just an opinion and we're all entitled to it. Hey, right. You can think he was offside. Great. But you know what? I think that's awesome. We need the top players that get paid the most that aren't ever going to get snipped off the team to show some personality. Like, I think that's how you saw it start in the NBA too, and mm-hmm. other sports. And obviously, they worry about guys go off the rails, even like Antonio Brown goes off the rails, right? But, like, hopefully guys can just, like, who he said he's hammered, you know, he's enjoying it. Who cares that he said, oh, they thought they won after one game. Like, you know what? Like, Montreal, you're never going to be, like, nobody's going to disrespect you enough to ever take away that you're the most winningest franchise, right? It's the best place to play. It's got the best, all these things. Like, come on. I was telling other people in my comments, like, you know, he's just under your skin. Like, why are you letting him so far under your skin? you're not on the ice to take it out on them, maybe just go, okay, maybe let's wait till the next time we beat them or something to go back at them. Like, let's have some fun with this.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. See, and I personally thought the shade he threw at Marc-Andre Fleury was a little more like, oh, there it is. Like, oh, that guy in Vegas, he won. Like, I liked that. And you're right. That's kind of a part of the sport that we don't let shine, right? The chirps are some of the best parts, and you guys can be so freaking quick. It's hilarious to watch. And it's like, why not let that show and let you guys be the humans, whether it's social issues or whether it's just being goofy and silly and ridiculous, yeah. Right?
Like that's how guys talk. Like, I'm sorry, but that's how they talk. I'm the biggest proponent for making like an adult only pay-per-view of all the mics in the league. I think that
yes,
would be the best
I am
thing
on board with that. Yes.
Right? Like,
I'll pay extra.
Right? Like, and obviously that's not going to happen, but if we were, you can have your opinion and you can dump on Kucherov, but don't say he's like a bad person. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, he's just a guy having a good time. You know,
he just won the Stanley Cup. I mean, again, yeah.
With a broken rib, you know, he's probably F.U. Scott Mayfield too. You know, he's like, whatever, I don't care. So that's what we need. And I just don't get, you know, that's his buddy. Vasilevskiy's his best friend. They're in the same agency, the same agency as me. And they just love, hey, I think he's the best. He's not, obviously he knows who Marc-Andre Fleury is.
Yeah.
He knows what he's done for the league. One of the most winningest players ever. Like, relax, everybody.
Yeah. I know. Just have, I mean, what do you think the NHL does need to do to change? Again, we talk about it's so kind of stuck in this old timey way, whether it be social media stuff or whether it be personalities or whether it be being more outspoken on social justice issues. I mean, how do you think that needs to change? Is it more guys like yourself and bigger names, in fact, even stepping up, right? I mean, what are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, I mean, like, we're here talking about all these things. We haven't talked about my hockey career. Like, that's I know my spot here. Like, other guys come on, that's what they do, right? Like, hockey, then they talk after. We need guys that are at the top of the game, maybe showing a little bit more personality. And I've had to adapt my career to the new NHL. If I didn't adapt, I wouldn't still be getting contracts and playing. So I think the league has to, and the whoever markets and all that has to adapt too, because it's adapt or die, basically. You fall even farther behind. So I think you're seeing a lot of people talk about it on social media. A lot of people that I kind of am connected with, social media, like hockey people, saying that, okay, things are changing. They're realizing how much branding is how impactful it is. Mm-hmm. Gary Vaynerchuk, who's like a massive entrepreneur, he's talking about it in his video, saying the NHL, you know, could do a better job of branding. Like, yeah, so I love tradition. I'm all about tradition. I'm the tough guy. I love the old hitting. I like all that stuff. That's great. But I think you do have to take a little bit of grain of salt and adapt to the times.
Did you see any of your teammates in San Jose kind of take more of an interest after they saw what you were doing, or anybody else around the league that maybe sought after you and said, hey, Curtis, I love what you're doing. How do I kind of get more involved?
Not too much. I think just me and Peter Gubinator with Gooby Customs, the guy who decorated my skates. I think you saw him work with some guys too, like Anthony Duclair, and I think you saw a bunch of more like commemorative skates come out this year with the Willie O'Ree ones. I don't know if that's just coincidence, but we need like little things like that. Oh, so it's okay to put something on your skates. Like, I didn't get kicked out of the league. Like, it's nice. We need more people just kind of pushing the boundaries a little bit, and you'll see like the turnover. Maybe some of the, you know, guys are really traditionalists and that's what they grew up in, and you start to see the influx of new GMs and all that kind of stuff that maybe will take the game. But there's nothing wrong with it. It's just, again, it's an opinion at the end of the day, and I think we can all have opinions and not like freak out at each other about.
Yeah. Crazy concept.
Believe it or not, I'm not just saying this to kiss your ass and because you just brought it up. I do want to talk about your hockey career. And you actually had a great segue talking about, you know, being a tough guy and loving that aspect of hockey. You're one of those guys who really, you know, dives into that aspect of hockey. You love the tough aspect. You've been that instigator and you're not afraid to get into fights and push people around. Is that hard in today's day and age with kind of moving away from that style of hockey to really like embrace that style and own that style in today's game?
I mean, I kind of wear it like a proud, you know, hat or something. I think it's awesome. So I'm happy with myself that I'm able to adapt. It's like a big motivating factor for me to adapt with the game and show that I can play in this modern, fastest it's ever been, skilled it's ever been NHL. So yeah, somebody commented on my post the other day and said, you know, just put goon. And I just wrote, I corrected them with a little asterisk and said, grinder that will fight anybody. That's how I describe myself, is that, you know, I'm just going to show up every game. I'm going to play the game like it's my last every night pretty much. And maybe my body breaks down doing that. Maybe, you know, maybe you can't play whole 82 like that, but I'm going to just play as hard as I can because I love what I do. And I know that I have to stay in the league. And I'm very proud of that.
Reflecting on this year then with San Jose, I mean, you got to be a part of a team that had some pretty monumental milestones with Patrick Marleau doing his thing. I mean, what was the season like as a whole? Were you at all surprised as to where you guys finished too? I kind of thought you guys would be
there
better.
There it is. Look at
nice.
That.
Nice. That is a beauty. I like that.
Yeah, pretty cool. Yeah, it was really cool to be a part of that. He's such a class act. You know, being on a team with guys like that, it's pretty cool. Obviously, you know, not the best season, but there's turnover. So for so many years, they were in the Western Conference Final and the final, and you know, making dents in the playoffs. But that's just how it goes. But yeah, for me, it was just cool to you know them ask him a question about it, my craziest teammate he's ever played with, and you know, compare me to like Todd Harvey or something. I don't know. It's just kind of cool to be involved with in a locker room with those guys.
Right. And now I'll bring it up. I'll bring the picture back too.
Oh yeah.
This Curtis Gabriel from the Minnesota Wild. I mean, what do you were here for, I mean, a good little stint anyway, kind of back and forth. What were your fondest memories of the Wild and playing up in St. Paul or down in Iowa? And tell us a little bit about your career here.
Yeah, obviously it's, you know, it stings. I'd never been drafted, didn't get drafted to the OHL, but then got drafted to the NHL. And I really wanted to make it where I was drafted and prove Chuck and Brent Flair, you know, that they drafted me for a reason. And you know, I thought I was on a good path. I got my wrist sliced by a skate that kind of messed up my last season. And then Fenn comes in. But, you know, I gave it everything I had. I don't think I was really ready to play in the NHL, to be honest. wish I could have been. But, no, great people there. I remember, you know, spending summers in Minnesota training. You know, some games that win streak we went on that one year. The year that – can't remember the year, but we lost – first round against St. Louis when we were supposed to win. Jake Allen stood on his head like
out of nowhere. Like that was the year the Wild were going to make it past the first round.
Do you know how many Wild fans you just made cry who's listening to this right now, Curtis?
It hurts me. I mean, I wasn't playing in those games, I was watching, but I was still like, wow, this sucks. But yeah, they're so good, and it just sucks that it didn't work out. But going up there on I think I got put in because Stahl broke Johnny Gaudreau's finger with a slash, and they put me in against Calgary just to make sure nothing happened. And then, that was great for me, and I got to play in a Canadian road trip, Edmonton, Montreal, Toronto, got my first point in Toronto in front of my family, so that was really cool. So that's probably my best memory, that road trip and that 13-game winning streak.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you mentioned that coming into the NHL, you feel like you maybe were a little underprepared to start your NHL career. I think a lot of people, fans at least, expect these players to come up and just be like superstars right away. It's really not that easy, no matter how good you are. Talk about a little bit, you know, how hard of a transition is that? You know, no matter what kind of talent you possess or what you are really good at, how hard is that to go from, you know, the AHL, the ECHL, whatever it may be, into the big leagues and try to find a chance to thrive there?
Yeah, I think physical ability is one thing. Like, obviously, you're going to have the top players that come in are really good physically. But I think the emotional, mental aspect is so underrated. I think I saw Owen Power say, doesn't matter, he's going to go back to college. I think that's such a smart move by him. Like, for guys to come in at 18 and play in the NHL, it boggles my mind. I'm a late bloomer, was a late bloomer physically, and I think mentally, like, it just takes me longer to figure things out. And some of these guys that figure out and then they maybe drop off, like you saw maybe McKinnon have like a year where he went down and then he kind of talked about his mental health and figured it back out again. It is a lot. It's a lot, especially, I mean, back in the day, obviously you're disconnected from your family, but there's no social media, there's no phones, there's no people like you talking to podcasts, you know, like speculating everything. There's a lot of distractions now. And I remember a coach, Daniel Tkachuk, he got drafted like 6th overall by Detroit, and he had concussion issues, derail him, but he's just like, I can't imagine how many like distractions you guys have now. Like, it's really hard to stay focused and stay, you know, on what you have to do to perform at a top level every night. It's really hard to play in the NHL.
Well, and not only that, you'd mentioned distractions, social media, obviously a huge one, because you can't escape the conversation that us media folk or fans are putting out there, but you seem to have kind of embraced that. Tell us a little bit about what you really like about social media and how you use it to your advantage, frankly.
Yeah. Going back to like, I used to be, you know, you saw like Robin Leonard say he read all the comments to like fire him up. Like, there's still a part to me that does that a little bit, but you know, I think growing up, you realize that, you know, you think your hockey is you. And I still, to a certain extent, still think this, I'm working on it. But like, you think if your hockey career goes well, you're like a good person. If it doesn't, you're a bad person. Like, you're so tied to it to make it to such a high level. And you have to be so competitive and driven. And you take a lot of those things personally. But I think when guys can mature, or whenever they figure out that, hey, like, you're a hockey player, people, you can be criticized as a hockey player. Like, hey, get fired up about that. Great, work at it. But like, they're not saying you're a bad person. Yeah. You're not like failing at life because, oh, you had a bad month or something, you had a bad week or something. You know what I mean? Like, I try to tell guys, like, separate yourself, like, do something a little bit away to, like, you're a good person, you're a good brother, or you do some activism, you're a good boyfriend, you're a good son, do something that kind of take you. That's what I'm still trying to learn at 28. So it's yeah. hard, but I mean, yeah, you have to be able to separate it. And then social media, I'm just trying to, you know, leverage my standing being an NHL player. It gets you, you know, in the room with interesting situations, and just trying to be myself, but yeah, trying to network and make connections, trying to take advantage of it. But social media is just a lot of fun.
Yeah. And did I see your girlfriend also hockey player?
She was. She was a really good junior goalie. She's like a small little athletic goalie. She didn't start playing until she was 11.
Wow.
And, yeah. So she was pretty good. And then she kept having, she's a little competitive psycho too, like me. She had a knee injury that she didn't let heal properly, and then kind of just kept playing. And then she toured a couple D1 schools, Providence. I can't remember the other one, but you know, she had an opportunity to play, but she just thought her knee was already, so like she might need to get like a replace at like 30 if she keeps running. I keep telling her stop running, but yeah. She likes running. So, all right, she's gonna have a peg leg when she's like 30, but
okay. You'll still stick with her though, right? I mean, that's what
absolutely. But yeah, no, she was a really good hockey player. And it's funny. It's like I've learned like kind of more about the women's game from her. Not a ton. I'm not like there yet where I'm like tuning into everything, but just learning a bit about it. And like, God, if I have a daughter, I'm gonna be one of the guys that's like, why aren't girls hitting? Like, why is that? I don't understand. Like, if we're trying to treat them equally, like, why can't there a league where girls can just demolish each other like we do, or demolish? I just don't get it. Like, it kind of doesn't make sense. And like, she said, like, a bunch of girls in her team would petition every year, and nothing would ever happen. But I'd be like leading the charge for that. If my girl,
shocking that you would be leading the charge.
I don't get that part about it. But hey, I don't know. Maybe I'm missing something. But.
So could you score on her, do you think, as far as goalie skills better?
I actually took her on the ice. We got her, she hadn't been on in like a year and a half, but I took her on the ice, rented some ice, and did like a little, got like a local little photographer and his girlfriend take a little video. It's on YouTube. It's got like 200,000 views because she's in it, not because of it. But I took it a little easy on her. She had a shot from one of her teammates break her collarbone once. So I just feel like that shot's going to break her collarbone. And if I buzz her tower a little too high, we break it. You know what I mean? So I stayed out really far when I shot it really hard to get her kind of used to it again, and just did some dekes on her. And it was fun. She wants to go back out again. She actually just got Vaughn to set her up with some really cool, like purple, pink, like custom pads. So we're going to get her back out there and shoot some stuff.
That's awesome. Awesome. Well, you got to put more videos on YouTube then, so we can check that out and see what kind of save she can make against you, right?
You should go through the comments of that YouTube video. It's people.
Is it a Curtis Gabriel roast fest or what is it?
It really is. It is. There's a couple nice, you know, positive remarks mixed in there, but it's mostly just a shit show on me. But
I love it. But I'm sure you come right back at him, right? That's what you guys
I mean, do. I answered a couple, like, you know, you can't spend all day on there, but I have fun going back with the jabs and stuff, but you know, is what it is. People just are extremely rude to her as well. But that's just keyboard warriors are just a part of you know, social media, the trolls, all that stuff.
Right. Got to find a way to ignore them. That's part of the job.
I just think it's great. I just keep it coming. I mean, it's just more comments. It's more engagement. Like, I mean, I'm pretty sure the formula is you get hate, you're kind of do something right. So
you've really made it then, right? Like once you got the troll, you've made it. That's official. I think so. Before we let you go, I do want to talk about the King Clancy nomination. Unfortunately, you lost out, obviously, to very worthy contenders. But I mean, what did that truly mean to you to kind of, again, have this acknowledged and all that you're doing acknowledged on such a grand scale and give it another pedestal and another life for people to say, oh, hey, well, look at what Curtis is doing. Look at what we could all be doing together to change the game.
Right. Yeah. And I'm, you know, I've come under fire for being, you know, too centered as a white cisgender male and all that stuff, but it's like a double-edged sword where I think that's kind of the point too, is that I am wanting to do this. And I think people have a lot of trauma. Obviously other people have maybe taken advantage of people, or they've seen guys like me, you know, do such bad things, I guess, to them, whatever in life. So I understand it, but you know, there's a part of it. If I'm going to use my platform, that's the point of using my platform. Like that's how I can reach people by using who I am. So I'm really proud that these issues got the platform that they deserve and that the NHL recognized them. I think that's a step in the right direction. Right. And I'm just happy that, you know, the things I'm fighting for with these people got an extra little light, and that's just going to keep building. It's just like a snowball keeps building snow as it goes down the hill, and it keeps getting bigger and stronger, and finally it'll break through, and we'll have hopefully in our lifetime a really inclusive hockey culture.
I was going to say, what would you hope to see change year after year? Because as we've seen, it takes a long time for change to really seem to take hold. But I mean, next year, for instance, what would you like to see the NHL or teams or players do to just kind of take the steps toward actually real initiative change?
Yeah, well, I think what Carl Nassib did and being so brave and coming out with the Las Vegas Raiders, I think it's going to send just shockwaves through every sport. Excuse me. And yeah, I think we can learn from how that goes there. And I know John Gruden and Mike Mayock, who are the GM and coach there, are really great people, are going to handle it well. There's a lot of infrastructure that needs to go in for Carl to make him feel comfortable, to make sure that he is prepared for that. The team is prepared for that, you know? So I think we can learn from that. And obviously I can hope that pushes, you know, someone to feel like they can come out in hockey, either at the East Coast, AHL, SPHL, NHL level, whatever in North America. And that would be a great step in the direction. So I don't want to force it and make it happen too fast, but I think we need to be ready for that. If it's going to happen in the NFL, I think we need to be ready for what would happen if a player comes out in our league, and would we be ready to support them? You know, I think that needs to be taught to the teams, whether you're, you know, end of the day, there's people against LGBTQ. If that's what it is and you're not educated and you have that view and you're not going to change, whatever, it's coming though. So you need to be, if you want to be a part of a team, you need to be able to handle that and not let it be a distraction. And hopefully that'll eventually help change your mind and come kind of to the truth and love that I'm talking about. But yeah, I think they're starting to reach out to people who really know this stuff and could put in the infrastructure for some player to feel like, okay, I can do this now. Yeah. So that would be great to see.
I would agree. I mean, hopefully we can truly have an effective change take hold, and not just the NHL, but just around the world in general, because I don't get it. Like, we're all humans. We all have our lives to live. It's not just affecting common sense, you negatively. Really. Yeah, it just boggles my mind that people get so up in arms about certain things. But, well, Curtis, thank you so much. You're the best. We really appreciate having you on. Look forward to maybe seeing you somewhere around next year. I know you get to chat with teams this offseason, so best of luck with that. And yeah, enjoy the rest of your offseason. We're going to take another quick break. We'll be right back.
Hey guys, this is producer Fred. I just want to ask everyone to go out there and spread the word about Bar Down Beauties. Leave us a like, share, thumbs up, review, you name it, we want to hear from you. Find us on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and of course, your favorite podcast app.
Thanks again to Curtis. What a great dude. It's just, he's such a good guy. I remember when he was here, he didn't do a whole lot. I know he even admitted that, but I mean, he's a good human. And I think hockey needs more good humans in it. I mean, hockey already has the best. Don't get me wrong. I love most hockey players, but more like Curtis wouldn't be too bad.
Yeah. Anyone who knows me knows he is exactly the type of hockey player I love to watch. I mean, he is just like a badass. He's, you know, will stand up for anybody. And he does that in his personal life as well, as you could tell from the stories that he shared with us. I mean, he is not afraid to defend people, to put himself out there, to fight for what's right on and off the ice, which sounds so cheesy, but I mean, that is truly the kind of person that Curtis Gabriel is. And you know, we talked to leading into the guest segment that the bravery that some of the stuff takes to support and to come out and make statements on and whatever. And it shouldn't be that hard, but it really is difficult sometimes because you don't know what people are going to say. And to have a guy like Curtis Gabriel in the NHL community and in the hockey community, in a space where not a lot of people are like him in that sense, that takes a lot of bravery to do. So I've always respected him for that. And hopefully in the future, there's going to be a lot of people like Curtis Gabriel, and that's the goal, right? But he is paving the way in the best way possible for people to hopefully follow in his footsteps and do more of what he does.
Right. I mean, his support is unreal. Like, it's just above and beyond. And it's just, it's so wonderful to see that there are people out there willing to, you know, really take a stand and, you know, not just say, hey, I'm fighting for you, but do something about it and really use their platform for good. So speaking of support, as always, we love all of our support from you guys. Be sure you rate, subscribe, the support from Talk North. Thank you for having us on your lovely network. From our presenting sponsor, SodaStick. Don't forget, code BarDownBeauties gets you 15% off all purchases. There's also some BarDownBeauties hats that you can still check out. The cool teal color sold out, but you can create your own. So go have some fun with that. BetterEdge, BetterEdge.com. Free $10 when you use code BEAUTS at signup, BEAUTS. Shout out to Jim Beam. Cheers to you. Cheers to me. And shout out to Tony Hoagland at StateFarmInsurance.com. We will be out at a golf tournament with him coming up, so stay tuned for more details on that. That's going to do it for episode 83, Alexis. Woo!
Can't believe it. Another one in the books.
Another one on the book. By. We fired Fred. Fred's not here. Shout out to Fred. So.
Shout out to Fred. Love you, Fred. Thanks for editing this, Fred.
Happy birthday. Happy belated birthday.
Happy belated birthday.
That's going to do it. Again, be sure to stay tuned to all of our social channels for any breaking news as we head into what will be a very busy week or 2 weeks for the Minnesota Wild. Have a good one, guys.